You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of February 13th, 2019, and this week we talk about repeats and remixes. Repeats and remixes. Repeats and remixes.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorous conversation about video games that we have been doing for many, many episodes.
Many episodes. We've seen the rise and fall of great franchises.
That's absolutely correct. Today we're talking about a little bit about remixes, but also sort of like a tangent weird thing that came up as we were talking about the content for the show.
Buckle in, everyone.
So this is coming out shortly before, happy Valentine's Day, by the way, shortly before Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. We're recording it earlier, and recently when we are first having this conversation, Resident Evil 2 came out again.
Yes,
again. Which is kind of weird. Because Resident Evil 2 came out a long time ago already, but also it's not really a remake because it also changes things a little bit.
Yeah, which I mean, we'll talk about. like the damn camera.
Yeah, like the camera, exactly right. And I think I had posited. I wonder what games we'll be playing when we're dead. Like right before I die, what is going to be the like longest running IP?
Yeah.
When I finally kick the bucket, you know, which to be fair, you know, who knows? It could be tomorrow.
Sure.
Cross my heart. It's not. But who knows? Or it could be when I'm like 75 years old, you know, and in like 40 odd years from now or whatever. Are we still going to be playing Resident Evil games? How much space do we have to experiment there? So that's the topic of discussion this week.
Should we talk a little bit about the concept of because I think we have gone into this this age now of not just a re-release or, you know, a visual retreatment of a game, but an actual substantive remix of a game that still trades on its original.
How weird is that? Let me ask you this. Why did they do it for Resident Evil 2? Like, why didn't they do it? I mean, didn't you think that if you're gonna do what they did for Resident Evil, right, which is take the base game, mm-hmm. and not just up-res it, but like make some significant changes to its look, its feel, even some of its story elements.
Yeah.
And completely, but at the same time, it's not a reboot. You know, they're not changing the story dramatically. It still follows the same beats, even a lot of the same mechanics of, you know, really difficult, sort of overpowered, meat spongy enemies. Mm-hmm. Some, you know, a lot of the same classic jump scares are there. Even though, literally, you would think if you're going to change anything, change the jump scare, because we've already seen it.
Right.
it's this weird halfway point between an actual reboot and just, like, an up-res.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you think they would have started with Resident Evil 1 and then sort of continued the chain up through the other Resident Evils?
I mean, I admittedly am not as familiar with Resident Evil 2 as I am with 1, but... Uh-huh. I think 1 has been remade several times. I guess remade is not... We need to be precise. It has been visually remade and re-released many times, you know, whether it's the GameCube one or just, you know, the various best ofs and PC versions and stuff. So it's definitely out there. But I wonder if... I don't know. If I put myself back in, you know, 1998 or whenever that game came out, I feel like Resident Evil 2 had just this huge hype behind it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that the case with you?
I don't remember having a huge amount of hype behind it, but I think I just wasn't that into the franchise at that point. I hadn't. Yeah. I don't think I had played it on my own, like maybe dabbled in it at a friend's house or something, but I didn't have the same fascination with that franchise at that point in my life.
I mean, that was the survival horror franchise was like for a minute like one of the marquee types of games out there, you know, I think largely because of Resident Evil, whether you're talking about the Silent Hill series or the Resident Evil, or like they got into like Dino Crisis, you know, I mean, they're
Dino
Crisis just made a lot of those games for a while, and so it seems like there was just a lot of appetite for that. And I know also there was like another Resident Evil, like Resident Evil 2 was not the original sequel they were going to make.
Right.
They kind of reset development at a certain point. I don't know. Like, I think it was, thinking back on it, there was, it definitely looked more interesting. You could switch back and forth between those characters, you know, after you finish the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was so much like the first one, you know, it wasn't a big departure like 4 was.
Yeah. I mean, would you expect something like this to be drastically different? Like, neither you or I have played the new Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
But going into this, and we know they're doing basically the same process for Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
How different would you actually want something to be when you're talking about a remake of an older game?
I mean, for Resident Evil, thinking back on it, I feel like this is actually a really smart thing because they have re-released various other Resident Evil games many times.
Right.
You know, they've re-released Resident Evil 4 on like everything that has a screen, you know. Mm-hmm. It's one of the lesser viewed or lesser touched entries of the series, and so they could basically do something new to it because they haven't been, you know, re-releasing it so often.
I think
that is kind of cool, and it actually is kind of turning my opinion on something like Final Fantasy VII, which is even weirder because you can play Final Fantasy VII in a lot of places. Like, you can play that on Steam, you can play that on any of the like best of collections that they've made, and so I almost wish they would go radically different with it.
Yeah, just really change things up.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll really input a way to bring Ares back. Spoiler alert, by the way.
Spoiler alert.
She dies. Oh, jeez. Well, but, you know, that was rumored in there, right? Like, I can imagine adding some interesting Easter eggs and stuff.
Yeah. You know what else is an example of this? The Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee.
Oh, shit. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. You know, I was talking to someone about that game, and they said that it was really boring and they didn't like it. And I said, well, yeah, Pokemon Yellow was boring. We just forget that it was, you know?
But was it boring because... Because one of the reasons why I ended up not getting it was because it seemed like they took the main thing, i.e. battling, mostly out of that game.
Yeah. What
the fuck is left if you take out, you know?
I mean, you know how I feel about the Pokemon games. Like, I've always argued for a long time that they are super dated. Like,
that,
I mean, honestly, that's the game we'll be playing in our 70s or 80s, because point the Pokemon series will just be getting into like HD graphics and full three dimensional controls. You know, we'll be roughly where we are at now with actual video games. So that's
George, you can actually skip the text.
It's finally good. I mean, that'll definitely be it.
It feels like that sort of remix is akin to the RE2 remake, where like the environments are basically the same, the story beats are basically the same, but one of the main ways you interact with the game has been very much changed. I mean, it's up to debate whether actually throwing the Pokeballs or whatever is better than fighting the Pokemon, but it seems like that is a way that they're using the same angle on it, where it's like, okay, you're interested in a familiar environment, but we can do something different with the mechanics or the graphics or whatever.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about a topic we discussed on the podcast a very long time ago, but I think the actual approach that I would find interesting is take a like luminary in game development from another studio and have them give the remake a pass. What would it look like to say, you know, I don't know, like let's say Respawn or fucking, you know, Hidetaki Miyazaki. It's like, hey, do me a favor, take a break from... Take a break from, you know, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice and give your input as to what a remake of a Resident Evil 2 game would be. You know, like what are the mechanical or design elements that someone from a different, that never worked on it, from a different field to some extent, what do they think are the key components of that are important? And what do they think are worthy of scrapping? I think that process of actually tackling a remake is inherently interesting to me. That making the decision that says, How do we decide what we're going to get rid of that was in the franchise and what are we going to modernize? And I think to your point about Pokemon Let's Go, maybe they got rid of the things that you and I thought were interesting and kept a lot of the same tedious stuff. For Resident Evil 2, I don't know. It seems like, again, a bit of both, which I think comes naturally. But it is interesting. And I could see that same process being interesting when it comes to any number of other remakes of older games.
I feel like that stuff might happen more. Actually, I don't know. Maybe this is just totally conjecture, but like they're in film, it feels like sometimes directors try their hand at maybe not necessarily the same exact title, but something directly inspired by a similar title. Like even something like, you know, Steven Spielberg and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
You
know, clearly from pulp. And that's his take on what that is.
We have the classic example today with Rian Johnson and The Force Awakens.
Right.
Not The Force Awakens, the Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where, you know, he took a franchise and did quite literally just take some old shit and throw it right in the fucking garbage. Yeah. And it pissed some people off, but goddamn if that wasn't an interesting take, you know? Yeah. Like, at least it's someone's own ideas about what this IP should be, you know? Mm-hmm.
Who was the director that made the shot-for-shot remake of Psycho? I always forget who.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I don't know the director off the top of my head.
I would be, like, a remix where all of a sudden you give Suda 51 control of Super Mario Brothers and just, like, see what happens.
Yeah.
I think would be interesting, like, because... You know, with the confines of, you still have to make it 2D, you still have to make the general gameplay a platformer, but I want to see your take on this.
Yeah.
Would be a cool remix in a style that isn't just kind of updating the graphics and putting it out there.
And the fact that Resident Evil 2 does make some significant changes, maybe it's not as many changes as I think would be especially interesting, but maybe it does free up the opportunity for developers to look back on some of those old titles that they think could be interesting, modernized, and challenge them to actually put in the work to, you know, dramatically modernize it.
Yeah.
Remember the
Shadows of the Colossus? It was not a dramatic departure, but they.
Oh yeah.
I remember that, like, they defaulted to a new control scheme, and there was some, you know, there was some back and forth about that. I mean, even for us, like, there was some back and forth on it around, like, what is this? Is this even still the same message around the game if you're this dramatically changing the control scheme? Which I thought was interesting.
They should have updated that more, dude. Let Agros just poop randomly out in the wild.
Yeah, like in Metal Gear Solid 5 when you can just say, do it, and he
poops. I did not know that about Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, yeah, you could command your horse to poop.
What is the benefit of that? People would slip on it?
People can slip on the poop, and also it's just...
Can you
pick
it up?
It's called Immersion, George.
What a great game. What a great underappreciated game.
Just give Kojima any sort of franchise and see what the fuck happens to it.
What series would you think is worthy of a more dramatic remake in that fashion? You know, like really updating? Because I have to say, I think the approach to horror is a really good one. Because there were games that I played when I was young that... terrified me to the bone, right? Like the Silent Hill series.
Right.
Silent Hill 2, for example, would be, I think, a really interesting remake. Fatal Frame. Mm-hmm. Like, there are some of those older horror games that now it's harder to be... It's harder to feel that same sense of fear because, I mean, to be perfectly honest, like, the graphics are just a little bit dated and it doesn't bring that same weight.
Well, you can also see right through some of the mechanics. You're like, oh, I see how this is working.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think... to be able to mix that up a little bit, to get the sense that, oh, you know what? I can play a horror game again and there might be something new. There might not. You know, I might enter a room and it's the same enemy. But the idea that I might enter a room and suddenly find it very different is kind of interesting.
Or even just the idea that the part of the horror in those old games stemmed from the fact that the camera very specifically and explicitly did not let you see the whole room, and so there was like noises off to the side of the room, and so like to get that same level of dread with a game where you can control the camera and the camera's over your back, you have to use different techniques to accomplish the same end goal, which is I think an academically intriguing way of approaching something. It's like, how do we make the same feeling but using different tools?
There was a there's a film called The Three Obstructions, which is a it is not a fun or accessible movie for people who aren't just really into movies. Mm-hmm. But a director challenges this other director, I think it's Lars von Trier, actually, to remake three scenes again, but in different styles. So he says, I want you to remake this, but I want you to do it completely in black and white in one long take. Or I want you to... It's been a long time since I've seen the movie, so I'm totally butchering it. But each of those challenges pose that interesting limitation on the creator, who already had a vision for what this would be and had a particular message. Right. And that challenge both changes how you as a viewer perceive those scenes and consume those scenes. But it's also just an interesting exercise for the creator, because now with these new limitations, it opens the door for them adding or changing or tweaking what that message might be and how they approach. And of course, it opens the door as well to just these larger discussions about, you know, what it means to craft within the limits of a form.
Yeah.
And I think, like, to your point, it would be really interesting to see even the same studio develop the exact same game, but just have that pretty significant limitation. Like, what would Stardew Valley look like if Stardew Valley had to be remade today, but in first person perspective? You know, I mean, again, that's an outlandish kind of probably a frankly boring game, but it might be interesting to see what we get out of it when you're talking about, now all of a sudden I have to think about how do we actually make the landscape compelling or interesting when there's a pretty significant just mechanical difference in how people interact with it.
Yeah. I was thinking another one before I go into my ideas, the Prince of Persia game I mean, it's hard because Sands of Time. That's the one that it was called. So I think that was a cool remix of, again, you know, a franchise that had existed for a long time, but they added a fair amount to it, but they stayed true to the idea where this is a very fluid platformer. We're putting a lot of emphasis on the animation and the artistry behind it. And it became its own thing, but I thought it was cool that they used that franchise and then remixed a lot of the elements of that original old game into a what at that time was a pretty modern one, you know, whatever year 2000 or whatever that came out.
Yeah.
What about a game like Monkey Island?
Oh, yeah, that could be fun. Well, that's been a game that people have been asking to get a remake for years.
Well, and it has been graphically remade or re-released in an up-resed version, but not in the same way that the Resident Evil game works. You know, they didn't just fundamentally change it while still trying to stay true to the spirit of that game. And I think it would be cool to see what is a modern text-based adventure. Like, do you need it to be an adventure game, or could it be something totally different and still have the spirit of that, you know?
Yeah. You know, the more that I think about it, the more I think it would be really interesting to retell a story, you know? Like, we've seen these challenges in other media, actually, like in comic books where people tell the exact same story, but they tweak it or they change it, you know? And you could take any fairy tale and the numerous versions of those fairy tales, right? Everything from The Little Mermaid to Cinderella. You know, they have been told countless times in countless different ways. Any sort of compelling piece of media, like Shakespeare, has been redone 1,000 times. You know, like there's been numerous renditions of the Taming of the Shrew, from 10 Things I Hate About You to like whatever your nephew's fucking shitty musical recital, right? Like, and all of them are somewhat different in their own way. But because it takes so much money and so much time to make a game, the idea of a developer saying, I'm going to remake something and just shift it and change it in little ways. And I think from a narrative perspective, it might be interesting. Like, man, what would it be like if, what if you replayed all of Final, what if they remade Final Fantasy VII, but you don't play as Cloud? You play as Barrett, you know? How would that be different?
Yeah. A lot more guns.
A lot more guns. A lot harder time playing basketball.
Yeah. I was also thinking of a game like Contra that seems so enmeshed in its form as a 2D shooting platformer. Can you separate the message and the spirit of what Contra is and actually do a Resident Evil-like transition? Maybe it's as simple as making it like a 3D shooter or something, but can that form, you know, that kind of bullet hellish type form even exist in a way that still feels like that game. I think that would be a cool thing to attempt. And it's, I feel like I've heard of many Contra games that have been canceled or, you know, never spoken of again.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe people have done that and have just been, you know, dashed upon the rocks.
You know what I realize I'm sort of dreaming about, even with something like Contra, because my first thought was like, what if it was like, you know, in a modern day, would it be Spec Ops The Line? Like, what is right. like, what is the sort of more modern understanding of that military fantasy look like today? But what I also realized was the reason I was interested in the latest, Fire Emblem Awakening and Fire Emblem whatever, there's like two versions, right?
Yeah.
And each of those versions are slightly different based upon the, you know, in the story in terms of what side your characters are choosing. While ultimately I think those two games were more similar than they were different, I have this fantasy in my head where there's these two games stacked on top of each other where playing one makes you appreciate the other more, you know? To have that like dual experience, I think is just super interesting. And you get it in other media. Like the other one I was thinking of actually is Desperate, like there's a Stephen King series, or two books. One's called Desperation and the other's called, I don't remember, but they're basically different stories, but the same enemy, and the characters have the same names, but they're played by different people. And there's just these weird references to one another that I find super fun and interesting. Like the meta textuality of that is super cool. And it's just something we don't really get in video games.
Yeah. I was, speaking of kind of meta textual stuff, I was still playing the latest No More Heroes game, and at a certain point, I got to a place where he's thinking he's going into another video game, but then he's actually going into as of yet unreleased sequel to Shadows of the Damned, which is like another game that Suda made.
That's pretty great.
And so, you know, and like Garcia Hotspur is there, and like all of those people, and they're, you know, they're kind of commenting on the game and like hoping that, you know, they'll help them make this sequel at some point. But like they're kind of fighting against the enemies that were in that game. And you're overlapping with some of these people that are in this totally different game that he made. And I was thinking about that same thing around like, oh, you can make a connective tissue universe that isn't a direct sequel, but still influences, you know, that would be. That'd be something to add to a remix where it's like, okay, this isn't the exact same thing, but there are these certain elements that will persist across the various games.
Kind of like Final Fantasy X2.
It is kind of, and weren't they going to do that with the, I feel like they kind of abandoned this, but like, weren't they going to do that with Lightning for 10?
Yeah.
Like, weren't they going to have a million Lightning games?
Yeah. I thought that was the goal. I don't know whatever happened to that.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like the Metal Gear Solid series.
that's pretty good. That man,
there is a lot of weird metatextual stuff. Yeah,
for sure.
Or, and also even in Metal Gear 4, when like you actually replayed versions of the first Metal Gear, you know,
just
going back to it.
Yeah, man, bonkers.
You know, our original Flight of Fancy was games that we think we will continue to be. That will continue to be with us, remixed in some shape or another. And we were talking about Mortal Kombat 11, which in a weird way is itself a remix, because if you recall the story of Mortal Kombat 9, it was actually a retelling of the original game's tournament.
Yeah.
And now apparently this Mortal Kombat 11 is... They're dealing with that in that they are now introducing like time travel and trying to reconcile the various threads that they've created.
Yeah, there's like a sort of Marvel Cinematic Universe shit going on. Yeah,
and so like in a weird way, Mortal Kombat is very similar to that, where they are. How can we do the spirit of Mortal Kombat in a modern fighting game context?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
But I think Mortal Kombat will be with us for quite some time.
I think Mortal Kombat will be. I want to exclude basically all Nintendo franchises because I think that's probably too easy.
Right.
I
mean, and Mario itself as a franchise is a great example of what Resident Evil 2 did. Like, if you think about Mario Galaxy and Super Mario Brothers, they give you the same feeling, you know, of that intense platforming and movement, but they do it in, you know, very different ways.
You know what? That's a really good point. And actually makes me think of Breath of the Wild, which I think is the best argument against this whole fucking process, right? Because it's basically Nintendo saying, why would we bother remaking Resident Evil 2? We'll just make another Resident Evil that is good, you know? Yeah. That is like also that, but also markedly different.
Well, I mean, it's the... I mean, I think Nintendo has the... they have the cushion of having the brand recognition of just Zelda in general, whereas Resident Evil 2 has at least some sort of nostalgic, you know, brand recognition.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I think that we'll be playing when we're in our 70s or 80s is some kind of Warcraft game. Because Blizzard takes so long to make games.
We'll be playing Warcraft 4.
Well, I mean, like, they'll have released only 6 to 8 games by the time I'm 85. You know, like, let's be honest. So one of those is bound to be a Warcraft title.
Do you think any of the games, like, the games that reigned so supreme over the past 10 years or so, like Call of Duty or Madden, or, I mean, it seems like, oh, those games are always going to be with us, but they're never truly, they're never remixed or reinvented in the same way that RE2 or Breath of the Wild did, you know, like, is there a, is there an end to them, you know, or is it just like a sequelization rather than a remix?
You know, I think it's sequelization for sure over remix. Mm-hmm. I was kind of thinking about this because we're slowly getting to, and maybe we should do a podcast about this topic at some point because I always like talking about it, but we're getting on to the point where I've been playing League of Legends consistently for 10 years.
Yeah.
And Riot specifically several years ago said that their goal with this game was to make it like, and this was also about esports, and there was a time when there's a lot of big talk about esports, but the goal was to make this basketball. You know, like, they want to make a forever game. They want to make something where, you know, even when George is 65 and having a hard time, you know, peeing straight, like, he'll be able to log on and play League of Legends in some shape or form because it is a consistent sort of pastime in the way that a traditional sport is. Mm. And I think the more that we see something like Call of Duty or Madden continue on over the years, and it's getting on, you know, 10, 15 years of playing these types of games, that's what it will become. Whether or not they're still coming out with a game every year, I don't know. But certainly, like, these are now just pastimes, and we just will continue to make slight tweaks, even if those tweaks aren't any different, really, than the numerous iterations beforehand.
It seems like League of Legends, though, has succeeded in that, where it's just way more tenuous for something like Call of Duty or Madden.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like the...
Well, but what I find so interesting, though, is League of Legends has this problem where they have to change the meta consistently, and they have to add new characters and stuff pretty consistently. And while I could imagine one day all of that stopping, but they just keep the servers going and there's enough players to play forever in the way that people are still playing Dwarf Fortress, right?
Yeah.
The Call of Duty games don't have that same need to constantly change. To some extent, you could imagine them coming out with another Call of Duty game that just has new maps, slightly different looking weapons.
Yeah.
Change around powers, maybe a power from this game and a power from this game, and maybe one more that involves gas canisters or something.
Yeah.
And there you have it. There's a new one, you know? Like, it feels like it could take it easy in a way that League doesn't have the privilege to do.
Mm, interesting.
Or and maybe not. I mean, maybe they still have faced that same challenge that everybody else does, which is how do you make this interesting and refreshing? But what's weird is it's not like anyone says, oh, I'm not into basketball because it's been played. You know, like, that's not a thing. Yeah. Like, people, you don't have to convince someone why it's entertaining to play basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
So at some point, will Call of Duty just say, well, I don't have to convince you why you should play Call of Duty game. Here's the latest one. Go play it.
It feels like the thing that will, I mean, maybe they'll have to figure out what their identity is compared to some of these other versions where, you know, something like PUBG or Fortnite has clearly...
Or Apex, Scott.
Or Apex, yes, excuse me. Has... because people can only handle so many of these, like, forever sports. And then the rest of it does become a single title type of experience in the same way that, you know, it's hard for it's hard for people to keep that many sports in their heads, you know, like some, it's hard to like really be super knowledgeable about things. And, you know, cricket never took off in the States, you know, yeah. And it's definitely
yet,
like,
oh, Scott, oh yes,
yes. And so that is a, that's an event that every once in a while you check in on, but not like a part of your ongoing life that many other people,
around the world,
soccer, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
that's
so, you know, that sort of stuff is slightly different.
Hmm.
Let's see. I wonder what else will continually be.
I can tell you what I hope. Like, I hope that we're still playing Soulsborns.
Yeah.
You know, like, I hope that we're still playing, you know, I think the horror games, again, Silent Hill, I think, is a good example. I feel like that is a title that I could see them still finding interesting things to showcase with that particular genre, you know?
Yeah. You know, you're going to hate hearing this, but I think Pokemon is probably one of those.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's true. But again, hopefully by the time we're 80s, we'll be able to do like VR or some shit, so.
Pokemon has probably done the hardest thing, which is capture multiple generations.
Yeah.
And so at this point, it's almost like it's a virtuous cycle, you know?
Yeah. I think that I could see Persona still going.
Ooh, interesting. You know?
Because I think at the heart of it, it's a game about people who have a, I don't want to say rebellious spirit, but where people are showcasing the spirit, and specifically youth, and I think that is always interesting. I mean, it's why coming-of-age stories still resonate, you know? Even though we've seen so many of them. There's something that's new and interesting about what youth are going through in every age that... Yeah. Makes that ripe for exploring in a game like Persona.
Yeah. Yeah. And there will always be, I don't know, coming of age stories, cool teens, like all of that stuff is easily remixable and can be reinvented for every subsequent generation.
When are they going to make the cool grandpa version of Persona? You know, when I'm 85, I'm going to want to put my money down on being able to play a game where, like, I choose you or whatever, you know? My persona is actually this really whip-crack, smart, young, fit teen, but I have the body of an 85-year-old.
I was just going to say Jack Frost has a really long gray beard, and that's what I was going to do.
Yeah, dude, for sure. I mean, we'll definitely have licensed games. We'll still be playing fucking Lord of the Rings games.
That's true. And, I mean, those games themselves are kind of, by nature, they're almost always a remix because the continuing thread for them is the license rather than the format. That's true. You know?
Do you think we'll still be playing Civilization? Because that scale of that game has basically reached up to now, and like we haven't pushed far enough in the future to really, you know, add on a whole lot.
Right. Oh man, when we're that old playing Civilization, it will be a nostalgia machine to be like, oh, remember when we used to have Civilization?
That's a very good point. Well, and it might be drastically different, right? Like, we might be living some, I don't know, socialist paradise or something. So we'll be able to tell a slightly different story than the sort of modernist version that Civilization tells now.
Oh, that's more hopeful, actually. I was thinking that we'd be living in the Fallout universe or something.
Well, either way, you know, either way, there's new stories to tell.
George, pass the irradiated water, please.
Yeah.
All right, let's leave it there for now. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. For the foreseeable future, you can find our podcasts wherever fine podcasts are sold for free. That includes Spotify, you know?
Cool.
Will Spotify be there in 100 years? Who knows?
Who knows? Probably I have not looked at the terms of service. We'll have to check back on that.
Yes.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.